So did you listen to that gospel there? Yeah, it's pretty kind of like this doom and gloom deal. And talking about cut off your hands, cut off your feet, pluck your eyes out, unquenchable fire, eternal hell. There's two kind of topics that people don't like to hear about. One is this one right here, hell. And the other one is money. And I'm not going to tackle both today. I'm just going to do one. because we're starting the stewardship campaign today. But it's interesting. Jesus says, "There is no one who performs a mighty deed in my name who can at the same time speak ill of me. Whoever is not against us is for us." As we begin our stewardship campaign today, this Sunday, I can tell you there are always a few people who are kind of, how do I say, edgy, right? And they're always kind of like, money talk again? You know, the church doesn't need my money. Why are you talking about money again? Right? Okay, let me ask you this. Maybe it's been a while since you came to church and you're like, oh, it's been like 1 month since I come to church and now you're talking about money. For those who go to church on a regular basis, when's the last time I talked about money? A while? Can I be precise? January. So don't tell me I talk about money every week. All right? Last time I talked about money was January. How many months ago was that? 8 months ago. Okay? And there's only two seasons that I talk about money. Now, when we start our stewardship campaign, and late January, when we start our annual diocesan appeal. But yeah, there's always some people, why you talk about money? Right? And what can you do? Anything you do, you don't do, some people don't like it. But I think most of us are not extreme like that. Most of us are rather lukewarm. You're like, okay, I'm not really against it. I'm not really for it either. But hopefully, talking about stewardship, it's not trying to pull teeth or people hear stewardship, oh, that's a gimmick to try to get me to give money to the church. Make me feel guilty. No, it's nothing like that. Stewardship is a way of life. And it's a positive thing. Do you remember last time in January when I talked about what is stewardship at all? Or you blocked it out of your mind? the word stewardship, it's a combination of two Greek words, manage and house. And it's combined together. So you combine those two words, what do you get? Somebody who manages a house, or a house manager. Yeah, and it goes a little something like this. Those who have children or have, you know, maybe they're all grown up now, but when you're raising your children or those who have teenagers, especially now, is it easy to raise children? Definitely not. And especially when they kind of act out. And especially when you go into their room and they're like, hello, can I get some, what, privacy, please? Like, this is like my room. This is like my desk, my bed. So like, I mean, can you please at least have the decency to knock on the door before you walk in to my room? And what do you say as parents? Let's rewind here. So whose house is this? Who pays the bills? Last time I checked, the grand title deed was in my name. You just shared my last name because I gave birth to you. That's all. Right? You just happen to live here until you're 18. All right? So let's be clear. Let's be honest. All right? Let me give you the perfect comeback line for the kids, for the children, for the teenagers. This is how you respond. You ready? This is how you respond. You say, "With all due respect, mother, with all due respect, father, whose house really is this? Where did you get your gifts? Where did you get your education? Where did you get that intellect of yours? Where did you get all these talents to have that job? Where did you get all this? Don't tell me it just came from the sky. Don't tell me it's all you. It comes from who? It comes from God. So with all due respect, you just happen to live here for 100 years. You just manage it. That's all. You don't own it. I know it says your name on the title, but it's not yours. It's God's. God gave you these gifts, these talents, this time. this job, everything you got, it's not yours. It comes from God. You just happen to just manage it. And I think we kind of have got, we kind of get it. Where yes, my talents, my gifts, my money, all that, it's not mine. I'm just a manager. I'm a steward. And I think we kind of get it because as a result of this, did you know in the history of our parish, FYI, by the numbers, at this time, we have the highest mass attendance ever. Period. We have the highest number of volunteers, catechists, ministers ever. Right? Our collection is now at our highest ever. And because of that, now we're able to provide quality service to our parishioners and to reach out to those who are in need, especially in the peripheries of our neighborhood. But we can do better. We can do so much better. There's so much untapped potential in this Campbell area here. You know somebody kind of important around this week, hanging out, like, in the East Coast, like the Pope, you know? Pope Francis, right? He addressed Congress, talking about the importance to build as one the greatest common good, that of a community which sacrifices particular interests in order to share in justice and peace, its goods, its interests, and its social life. And a lot of people will say, I agree with that, you know, sacrifice a little something for the good of all, common good. I'm all about the common good. And people say, you know, Father Steve, I understand. Steward, it's not mine. I need to give. I need to be generous. Give my time, give my talent, give my treasure. I get it. But you know what? I'm just so busy right now. If I had free time, I'd give. If I had a lot of talents, I'd give. And believe me, if I have a lot of money, I would give. It's just that at this moment in my life, I don't think I can give right now. But if I ever win the... Oh. Let me tell you, if I ever win the lottery, don't you worry. I got your back. I got your back. I will give at least 50% if I ever win the lottery. And I look at you and go, really? You don't even buy lottery tickets. How can you possibly win the lottery if you don't even buy lottery tickets? Is that even possible? That's not even possible. Now, what if I turn that around? What if I turn that kind of scarcity, I don't have time, I don't have money give mentality, what if I just turn it completely upside down on its head? And what if I told you, you know what? You don't need to buy lottery tickets. You don't need to buy a lottery ticket because you have already won the lottery. What if I told you that? Would you believe me then? What if I said, you have already won the lottery? In the book called Imagining Abundance, not scarcity, okay? Carrie Robinson, she says, okay, well, what does that exactly mean, winning the lottery? Winning the lottery, by definition, implies a random, undeserved gift of good fortune awarded by chance. Let me read it to you again. Winning the lottery implies a random, undeserved gift of good fortune awarded by chance. Now, hasn't each one of us received something like that in our lives? The central truth of life is to know that God loves you, period, just for being who you are. And you and I, we've already hit the jackpot. We've already hit the jackpot with God's love. And concretely, the winning numbers to the lottery looks a lot like many of the blessings that God has already bestowed upon us in our lives. You just look at the course of your life. How can you say that your life has not been blessed? How can you say that you have not won the lotto? I just did a funeral for a lady 96 years old. Don't tell me she's not blessed. Blessed with good health right up until the end of her life. She hit the lotto. She was already won the lotto. The gift of loving relationships, loving parents, loving children, loving families, loving brother, loving sisters. The gift of having a personality. The gift of having athletic skills. The gift of a mind, an intellect. Gift of a job, house, education, security, freedom, liberty, justice, happiness, whatever you call it. Everything. How can you not look at your life and say, I have not won the lotto? You and I have already been blessed. We have already won the lotto. We just don't want to share it. When you realize just how much God loves you already, don't you want to give back? Or would you rather be like what the second reading from James says, if you store up treasure for the last days, your wealth will rot away, as it says. Have you been to a friend's house or a neighbor's house, and in the garage, they have so many things just stuffed up, piled up, accumulated. Dust. They got things from 1940s, and it's just piling up. What you gonna do with all that? Hoard it and hoard it and hoard it until it rots away. That's called being a bad steward. That's called being a bad manager, right? So as a steward, are you going to hoard all these gifts, time, talents that God has given you? Or are you willing to be generous? And imagine abundance. Like I said, if you think about it, you and I, we've already won the lottery. Just a matter of sharing it. At this time, I'd like you to take a look at the end of the pews here. We have these little sheets, these time, talent, treasure, commitment, stewardship, commitment forms. And I know some of you have already seen it for a couple of years. Some of you are new to this. That's okay. If you're sitting at the end of the pews, please pass it along. And I know some of you are kind of like gung-ho and just like to fill it out. That's okay. Some of you need to kind of mull it over, think about it, pray about it. That's okay too. Take it home. And some of you will not take it home. That's okay. It's also available online at our website. And last case scenario, if you're registered, we'll also mail it to you. Don't you worry, okay? But take a look at this. And we got three areas as we imagine abundance and sharing the lotto that God has already given to us in the area of time, talent, treasure. In the area of time, in my experience, I've realized that those who give a lot of their time are not necessarily the ones who have nothing to do. The people who give of their time are not just the retired people. When you retire, people are actually busy. You know, you got things to do when you retire. The people, those who give of their time, actually are the ones, in my experience, are the ones who are actually busy. But recognize that they have already won the lottery. And they want to cherish that gift of extra time by donating their time to pray, by attending parish functions and meetings and leadership nights, councils, committees, and being available for anything that the church needs. And I'm just amazed of how once a month we have this like leadership night on the fourth Thursday. We have about 60, 70 people for a parish leadership night. And I'm just amazed when I look around that crowd, like everybody goes to work. They probably go to work like 6 a.m. or 9 to 5 at least. And they come to the meeting all tired. Their eyes are all bloodshot. But they still come. And they contribute actively. Because they want to give of their time to the church. When you look at the area of talent, in my experience, those who share their talents are not like the super, super talented, super gifted people. Many times, people come together to give back to God and to the community because you recognize you have already won the lottery. Over the summer, we had this little like literacy camp to help children read. And I was just so impressed with our volunteers, and especially with our younger volunteers, our teenagers, who, I mean, what do you do as teenagers over the summer? Like Great America, like every day, like you wake up like at 3 p.m., you know? But these guys, they're like every day. They're not English majors. They're not professional tutors. But they're there because they want to help these little children to read. Last month, we had a health fair here on a Saturday, just all over the grounds, parish grounds. And it was amazing how we had over 22 local agencies come together just to help the local neighborhood. No hidden agenda, just people in need. You need dental work, we'll help you out. We need health screening, blood pressure, Zumba class, whatever, we're there. Just gather together to share our talents out of abundance. When it comes to the area of treasure, this is where the rubber hits the road, okay? This is where I, in my experience, people's true colors come out, you know? Not only am I just doing this stewardship campaign here, but I'm also in charge of fundraising and building another high school down in the South County. And it's amazing. Many kind, very sweet people, sweet families. When it comes to that time, when I ask the families or the people for money, that's when you can tell if these people are for real or fake, right? Some of them, they get very defensive. They get very angry. Why do you want my money? Have you been stalking me? Have you been looking at my financial record? Why are you asking me for it? Why don't you ask somebody else? Why don't you ask the Sobrados? Why are you asking me? You don't need my money. Okay, all right. In my experience, those who give generously are not the filthy rich. Those who truly give are the ones who earn $50,000, $60,000 a year. But those who recognize you've already won the lottery. They've just been blessed. And they just want to share that blessing. Right? You look around. You look around this church here. You look around the stained glass windows, the bricks and Stations of the Cross, the pews, the candle, ambo, altar, all this. Okay, you look at the whole building. This church has been built by people who have already won the lottery. And their names are not on the California lottery list. Because they've recognized, wow, I've been blessed. I've already won the lottery. I want to share out of abundance. One man without a job for 2 years, one of our parishioners without a job for 2 years, he's been on welfare and disability and all this stuff, finally got a job after 2 years. He hit the lotto. He hit the lotto. And you know what he did with his first paycheck? He gave half of his first paycheck to our St. Vincent de Paul Society. Because he knows what it means to be in the gutter. And he received help with food and finance, paying for rent. He wants to give back out of abundance. A longtime parishioner here at St. Lucie, she's always told me, St. Lucie is her home. It's like one of her children. And she really meant it. Because after she passed away, we received a letter of a donation in her will. You know, she had like four children. And the fifth one was us. All divided her inheritance into one-fifth. Right? She's already won the lotto. Just wants to give back. You see, it's not a matter of, oh, if I ever have time, when I retire, if I ever win the lotto, I'll help. No, you've already won, if you think about it. And the thing is, we have a good problem. It's a problem, but it's a good problem that we have at St. Lucie here. Do you know one of the main reasons why the Pope is here in the U.S.? I mean, there's many reasons, many political reasons, spiritual, all these. But one of the main reasons I think the Pope is here is because he sees the church in the United States, we're not doing so well. We're kind of like declining. We're kind of like dwindling. And he wants to give us kind of like a shot in the arm with his presence, with his prayers, and with all the speeches that he's saying. And because the reality is, the Roman Catholic Church in the United States, numbers are kind of dwindling, kind of going down. And if you look at some of our neighboring churches, less and less people. But I say we have a good problem here. Because like I said, did you know that our mass attendance is actually going up? I don't know where you come from, but it's going up. But it's a problem. It's a problem because as mass attendance goes up, our collection also needs to go up to provide the necessary services for you. Right? So it's a problem, but it's a good problem. I don't mind having that problem, but we got to keep it up so that we can keep growing, multiplying as disciples. So I really ask you to strongly consider maybe increasing your weekly contribution as well. And this is your homework this week. Two parts. Number one, remember this? No. Don't look like it. It's okay. It's a little burgundy book. On your way out, take one per family and pray how many minutes? Oh, so you do remember. Okay. Pray 6 minutes a day, and this will kind of get you in the mindset of what it's all about, of being a steward. And number two, take these commitment forms. I want it in your purse, in your wallet, in your back pocket. If not, go online. If not, if you register, we'll mail it to you again. And really kind of think about this and pray about this. What does it mean to be a steward? house manager. Exactly. It's not yours. It's God's. And what's the winning number to the lotto? What's the winning number to the lotto?
Today is 55, 45. No.
The winning number to the lotto is the blessings that God has already bestowed on you, because we've already won the lotto. Right? And how can I share in abundance the blessings that God has already given to me? And I ask you to think about it. I ask you to pray about it. Maybe talk about it as a family. And whatever decision that you make together, I will trust that that is the best that you can do at this time, to give of your time, to give of your talents, to give of your treasure as well.